answer to just about anything. And he's right, I could just grab the mic and go because my teachers gave me a new seat every day at school because I talked all the time. I was walkie-talkie. And when I was telling somebody that was a wrong number, heartbeat, all about heartbeat anyway, while I had him on the line, the director said, I have a different job for you. So that's how I ended up getting to be here visiting with you guys. But I've been a volunteer at Heartbeat for about 10 years or so, and I find it a really rewarding thing to be a part of. I first got involved because when they were speaking at our church, God started tugging at my heart because some of my students, I teach at Cardington, and at that time I was teaching fourth grade, and some of my students came to mind that didn't have the most stable home lives, and I saw them really trying to get the attention of anyone and everyone that would pay attention to them, you know, at all. They were just thirsty for love and affection from someone, from anyone, and I thought, you know, at times I thought, that poor little one right there, you know, I don't know if she's going to make it all the way through school without a little one because, you know, she's going to believe everything, you know, any fellow that comes along tells her because she just wants to be loved. And so when I decided to volunteer at Heartbeat and they were giving us the tour and showing us, you know, the office in the back, they had pictures up of different clients and their babies. And right there on the wall was that little girl who I had thought that about, you know, all those years ago, that she had ended up with a little one, but God had put someone in her path to make sure that she found her way to Heartbeat and that she could find the things that she's needs. So we've been there since 1984, first started in Tammy Brown's house when it was on her heart to get started. And we've moved locations a couple of times, and every time we meet with the stumbling block, God blesses us, and we just step right over it and move on. So now we are in our own building out at 712 Baker Street, out where Dr. Hintz used to be, across from the hospital, back in there behind Pizza Hut and the laundromat. So we've gotten really, really comfortable there. So I just wanted to tell you, first of all, I know a lot of you know a lot about Heartbeat, so I'll go into some of the things that have been a little different as we've bounced back from COVID and what's happening there. And then just a few of the like heartwarming stories, the messages that we're trying to get to our clients and how God is working for them. But we did stay open during COVID all but 2 weeks, and we had our hotline open, and we made diaper deliveries when we needed to, and a couple of our clients had COVID and needed diapers delivered, and so we were still able to meet their needs. And then as things opened back up, our numbers are down to what, you know, compared to what they were pre-COVID. I think a lot of people just got kind of sedentary. Was, you see, anywhere that we go, there's signs up, everybody's hiring, and people kind of got used to just being home, and it's hard to get people back out again. But we're seeing that liven back up, and we're seeing as other aids that were put in place to help people bounce back from COVID, as those fall away and go away, people are needing help, and that's what we're there for. I've got just a little bit of numbers here. We've got we normally see about 400 visits to our little boutique. We don't call it a clothes closet. It looks like a little store, and all the new stuff in there has got little baby buck, you know, heart tags on it. You know, they have to earn a baby buck to buy this thing for a baby buck. You know, that's in one room. And then there is another room where there are free clothes that they can have that are in totes that looks more like a clothes closet. But we try to make it look as much like a little store and to reward them for the earning that they're doing. They're learning and earning. And I'll talk about some of the ways that they earn and learn in a minute. But then they get to shop and they get to buy these things for their child with the baby bucks they've earned. So they it makes them feel good and helps them pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It gives them a little more respect than they might feel if they just came to get things, that they've worked hard for this for their child. So we had about 200 people, 200 visits last year compared to 400. We usually have about 51 pregnancy tests, and we only had 11 last year. And usually about 400 packages of diapers going out compared to 217 last year. And about 2,000 outfits usually go out. We had about 1,000 last year. But we also, we did not have a count of blankets that I had on here, but last year we had 176 blankets go out, and we started kind of a new blanket campaign because we have things for little ones from birth to age 5, and that's about all we can handle storage-wise. Our whole basement is our sorting area where the things come in, and they're sorted between summer and winter, and then boys and girls, and then you take the summer girls stuff, and by the months, there's a whole process. So if you don't have the gift of gab like I am, and you're like, I want to help at heartbeat, but I don't feel comfortable talking to people, there's lots of work to be done, down there, sorting those things and getting those things together. Because I walk down, it's a little overwhelming for me. I'm glad God picked somebody else to do that. it's a big job, but it's an important job. But we don't have room for things for the older kids. And sometimes our clients that come in might have like a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. So the 7-year-old sometimes is standing there like, nobody cares about me. There's nothing here for me. It's all for my brother. And so it was nice that we happened to have a whole lot of blankets at that time. So we put them all in one big room and called that the blanket room. And it was around Christmas last year. We had the kids come in and we're like, pick out a blanket for you, a blanket for your brother. And anybody else that was living in the house, if they were cousins, and often there are. We saw that happen a lot during COVID. Families combined, families blended, they moved in together. And so often, there may be 5 to 7 kids, in a house with 3 bedrooms. And so to get to pick out a blanket that was theirs, that was their cozy, that they could keep with them, was some love and some comfort. And we prayed over those blankets that they would keep the kids comforted. And I'm very excited about this year because we've got a lot of blankets coming in, and they have been crocheted, knitted, and some of them quilted by prisoners. So they're in the prison system, and when they got all of their stuff done, this is something they're voluntarily doing, and they're trying to send us 200 blankets. And so our first shipment came in, and they're absolutely beautiful, and it was it was really cool to hold those and know where they came from. So that was pretty neat. But when we had to kind of close things down a little bit with COVID, we couldn't do our video program. We've got books that we have the clients read, and I'm going to share with you one of the book reports one of our clients did from one of those. We've got devotional books, and they can keep them if they like the book, they can keep it. They want to pass it on to someone else, they can do that. They want to bring it back in, that's fine too. We've got multiple copies of those, but we also have self-help books and about finance and parenting. But we had a lot of videos too, and so they would sit down. Some of them weren't that strong in the reading, wasn't their thing, so they liked the videos better. So their kids would be playing with toys, or we'd play with the kids, and they're watching a half-hour video, and then there's questions, and we would chit-chat with them and talk about our own kids and what God might say about some of the stuff that they had seen. Now, they were all parenting videos, and they did not have a devotional piece in them, and they were a little bit dated, so there were some wide ties and some big hair, and so sometimes they'd look at us like these crazy people, know what I should be doing today with my kids, so it maybe didn't apply to them as much. So when COVID said you cannot sit in the little room with them next to them on the couch and have a chit chat, that's not allowed, we had to stop doing that. We had to search for something else. So what we found, at first I hated because I just turned 50 and I like to use some technology but not all technology. And this is technology based. So right away I was like, I don't like it. But it's really good. We've got over 500 lessons that we can send out to our clients on their device at their house. And at first I thought, I don't like that because they're there and we're here. I don't know about that, it made me nervous. But many of them had no money for gas, no transportation. If they did have a lot of kids in the house, if they did have gas or transportation, they couldn't get all of those kids in the car at the same time. If their sister was working and they were watching the nieces and things, so that was an issue that this alleviated too. So we can send these right out to them, and they don't go on and pick and choose. Our people that work in the daytime on Tuesdays and Thursdays, are calling them and saying, hey, this is Heartbeat, just checking on you, you know, how are the kids doing? Makes them feel like, you know, they're cared about because they are cared about. And we've got, you know, notes if we've been praying for them about something. We ask how that's going. And then we say, can I send you some more of these lessons? And so there are ones on, like, co-parenting. Like, you know, how do you handle holidays when you're co-parenting? What if there's abuse, addiction, and abandonment going on? Depression and suicide, domestic violence. There's also ones on here about newborn sicknesses, infant nutrition, just simple infant care, having a child with ADHD, having a child with autism, having a strong-willed child. My mom had that book. That was for me. But all of these, they deal a lot more with what our clients might need. And every single one of these has a devotion attached to them, too. Our old ones didn't have that. Now, we do have to click a box to make that happen because this is used at other agencies that are not church-based, but we are church-based. We don't get any money from the government at all, so it's the area churches that totally support us. So when our clients are saying thank you, and they always do, I've never had anyone just take and leave. I've never seen it happen, not in 10 years. They always say thank you. They're always appreciative, and we always let them know that it's the church people of Morrow County, a lot of different churches that that are supporting this because they want to be sure that our doors are open and we have what you need and it's here for you. And sometimes that's met with a look of surprise because they come from a lot of different walks of life and a lot of different situations. And what they might have learned about Christians, they might have seen on TV or from someone who was only a Christian on the outside and not necessarily on the inside. And they don't understand that this is a place where they're not going to find judgment. They're going to find love. You know, that's not what we're about. One of the things that's going on in the world today with you know, all the laws being changed and people arguing over, you know, what's right and what's not right about unborn children. And those kinds of decisions are being made in people's head, not necessarily in their heart. And so Heartbeat doesn't get involved in trying to get laws changed or picketing or handing out, you know, information. We just patiently wait until people come to us, people that are in crisis, people that think they might be pregnant, they know this is a private place, it seems pretty low-key, where it's not real heavily trafficked, pretty private, and they'll come in, and sometimes they're pretty sure they're already pregnant, and they don't know sometimes, you know, what they're going to do or what is next. And so for us to be there and talk to their heart about their feelings and about their stress, and that we're there to help, you know, relieve their stress and take some of these things off their plate. Many of the people that Tammy, who got our Heartbeat of Morrow County started, she talked to some people that had been through abortions and what led them to that place. And she found out that they were grieving. They were not happy that this happened, and they felt like they didn't have any other choice because they didn't feel like they were in a position to provide for their child. She didn't want that ever to be anybody's reason, and that's why I want to make sure they can have everything they need. So we've never told anybody no, never turned anybody away. This is an analogy that I know I've used with you before, but to me it just speaks volumes. And without the picket signs and the arguing, it just puts in a different perspective that if I were holding an eagle egg in my hand and I were to crush it, of course I'd be in trouble. I looked it up once. I forget what the fine is. It's like $2,000 and up to 5 years in jail. You can't mess with the eagles, of course, and I wouldn't. I'm a science teacher, nature lover. It's great to see so many eagles in Ohio now, and I would never do that. And I don't think there's anybody that would, and people would be shocked and horrified if you did. But it's not an eagle egg. It's this little guy that's 10 weeks on his journey to meet us. And he does not get the same protection as a bird. And when you put it like that, you realize it's a bird. I mean, if there's a life or death situation, you had to save someone, and there's a bird and a child, everyone's going to grab the child. And that's the kind of message that we want to get across to our clients, that Like it said in one of those songs, I've not heard that one before, that that we're all and nobody's out there making mistakes and screwing up, but God has chosen all of us for a special job and a special reason, and He does have a plan. In Genesis 16, 7 through 11, we hear about Hagar and the first crisis pregnancy. Because a lot of our clients think that these dusty old books don't apply today. They think this is ancient and it's not for them. But the first chapter, the first book, has got scandal in it. We know about Sarah and Abraham as, you know, godly people, and God chose them. And they had done a lot of messing up along the way, and where this story picks up, they had just messed up in a royal way that God told Abraham he would have a son. And things weren't happening and weren't happening and weren't happening. And so Sarah and Abraham decided to take matters into their own hands, like we often try to solve our own problems before we pray. We try to do that. So she sent her handmaiden to be with her husband. And that time, that was a customary thing to do, but that was not what God had planned at all. That's not what He told them. That's not what He told them to wait for. So that, of course, caused a lot of drama. And I didn't know that story until I was an adult, and I'm like, I can see why they skipped over that in Sunday school. But it's interesting to dig in here and look at these scandalous stories that are in there. Everything that we're experiencing today is in here somewhere in some way, shape, or form, in just a different setting. So we have Hagar, who's pregnant and has run away because she feels, you know, very awkward and unwanted, and there's a lot of drama. But God knew where she was. God knew she was pregnant. He had a plan. He knew this was going to happen. He didn't make this happen, but He knew this was going to happen. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near the spring in the desert. It was the spring that's beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarah," she answered. And the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." And the angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." And the angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son, and you will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery." And he goes on to explain that he's not going to be an easy child. She needs that video about strong-willed children. Says he's a donkey of a man. So things don't go easy for Hagar. But the point of that is, that she tried to run away and she tried to hide. And some of our clients are at that situation where they're trying to run away from this and undo it and pretend that this never happened and nobody knows. But God already knows, and He already has a plan. He already knows the child's name. He already knows what kind of kid they're going to be, you know, whether they're going to be a donkey of a man or whether they're going to be gentle. So he's got all that figured out, and so we can put all that on broader shoulders and not have to worry, you know, as we were saying earlier. One of the book reports one of our clients did was called Know Your Bible, and just a little devotional. It's kind of like Cliff Notes of the Bible. So you open up to Genesis, it gives you the main key players, what kinds of things are going on, and for people that are trying to catch up real quick to what's this Bible thing all about. And so she had to write quite a few things there to get her four baby bucks, which would get her probably two outfits, or maybe an outfit and a package of diapers. A baby buck, and wipes are a baby buck, and a new outfit's two to three, depending on what it is. But I'll just read you some of the things she wrote down here. She wrote down that she wrote 2 Samuel. She wrote about it because it talks about Samuel becoming Israel's greatest king, but he also had flaws. And that's one of the main points that we want to get across to people that come in, because they're waiting to get perfect before they come to church sometimes. And we need to let them know that it's going to be a long wait, because none of us here are perfect. Come on in and have a seat. She wrote down about Ecclesiastes because it talked about without God our life is empty and unsatisfying. And she wrote about Song of Solomon because it talks about how married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. She was not a married lady, but it's something she was looking forward to. Things that she learned, the first thing she wrote down is that Cain murdered his brother Abel. And it just kind of surprised me when I saw that, because if you've been raised in the church and you've heard these stories since way back, it's easy to just take these things for granted and forget that the general public, sometimes what they know of Bible stories is just what reference was in a movie. And so she didn't know that the very first people that God put here started messing up right away. And she was not aware. She did not know that God allowed people to suffer and testing their faith, and that Job lost his whole farm and his family and everything. And we did have a little chat about that, because it's hard to understand sometimes. People think that once you're a Christian, that you have like a force field and then bad things won't happen to you. And then if bad things do happen to a Christian, other people are like, see, told you, it didn't help them. But it does. It's not that the bad things aren't going to happen. But sometimes we have to be knocked all the way down to the ground before we remember we were supposed to drop to our knees to pray. And sometimes we got to be pushed down there sometimes. Proverbs is a collection of tips for living. She liked that one. That a lot of people struggled in the Bible. And that religion isn't just ritual, but it's about treating people with love and justice and fairness. So she had lots of other things that she wrote about in there. And I have just a little bit from one of our clients that wrote. We asked them if they wanted to share something that we might put on our Facebook page, or out on Twitter, or just send out to the churches. And so a few things that she wrote here. She was actually from Richland County, but could not find help in Richland County. And so she called to ask if she could come. And we said, if you can get here, we'll be glad to help you. And so she did. She said, when I walked through their doors, I was a single mom of three, ages 3, 1.5, and a few months old. I didn't have any clue exactly what I was walking into, but any kind of help would help me greatly. They didn't ask my situation. They just helped me watch over my children so I could pick out some clothes and blankets and diapers to help us out. As I was finishing up, they asked if there was anything they could pray for me about. When I hear those words, I get lost in the moment, because unfortunately I don't take enough time to pray for myself. And I feel that when someone else is willing to do that, they truly care. I hit rock bottom. I had lost daycare. I couldn't work. My child support wasn't reliable. And I turned to Heartbeat. They were so caring, loving, nurturing, and understanding, and they passed no judgment. I come from a family that lacks all of those, and I want it and need it very badly. I always find whatever I need within the walls of this location, whether it be clothes, diapers, a hand with my children for 10 minutes, a listening ear, someone to talk to, or even someone to say, what can we do for you? Even a simple prayer. I feel at home here and like I have someone who genuinely cares for me. The point is, if you or anyone else that you know is in need of anything, don't hesitate to reach out. Heartbeat has helped pick me up when I was down and has continued to bless my family. I'm beyond grateful for them. We are doing better now and we're trying to help our community. My family loves coming here, and we give back by donating to things that no longer fit or things we can no longer use. Thank you, Sierra. So I just thought you'd like to hear a little bit about, you know, some of the clients that are in there. I tend to sometimes when I talk about them say young ladies, young ladies, young ladies, and the bulk of our clients are young ladies. But we have dads that come in too. We have single dads that have the sole custody of the kids, and sometimes we have dads that have kids just every other weekend, and sometimes they don't come with anything, and they need things, or he doesn't know what they need, because every other weekend it's hard for him to get in his groove, and we're there for whatever they need. And we do also have foster families come in that, hey, we just got three little ones, we're coming, and so they'll come in to get what they need for them. We also have grandparents come in. We have an increasing number of grandparents that are raising little ones, because their kids have fallen into some bad habits and gotten into some bad things. And while we pray with them for their kids to get their life back together and to find their way back to being healthy, in the meantime, we're glad to be there to help them with the things they need for their little ones. I wanted to share. Always have to share from Psalm 139:13-16. I know you've heard it many times, but it's a good one to read with our clients as well. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So just like the angel told Hagar, God already has a plan. God already knows this kid that he's sending here to be with you. And I also, that's one that a lot of us read, and then we all have our favorite verses that we like to read when we get the opportunity. And mine is in Ephesians, because I see so many of the clients that come in not having the greatest self-esteem. They're wanting help for their little ones, but they think that they are undeserving themselves of that help. And so I like to read from Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest of them, we were by nature objects of wrath. It's so important for them to know that nobody's perfect. And that this isn't, you know, where the perfect people come to hang out on Sunday mornings. This is more of a hospital for the sick. Our souls are sick. Our hearts are sick. Our minds are sick. We've all messed up this week, every single one of us. And we're gearing up and leaning on each other and praying for each other to head back out there and fight the good fight for another week and do better next week. So the next part I've got circled is but. We're all sinners, but. But because of his great love for us, God, he was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show us the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace that you've been saved. And I don't really understand what grace is. They think grace is a prayer you say at Christmas and Easter, or grace as a girl from study hall, or somebody who's graceful. They don't really understand that it's this gift, that you can't earn your way into heaven, that you just, it's a gift. He just gives you the grace, and you just have to take it. I want you to take it. Hopefully you want to take it. For it's by grace that you've been saved, through faith, and it's not from yourselves. So we can't wait until we get it right and then come to church. We have to come first. It's a gift of God, and it's not by works. So you can't earn your way in. You can't buy your way in with donations. You can't get extra credit, you know, heaven points for working at Heartbeat. We can't save ourselves. It's not by works so that no one can boast. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And there's that piece again, which God prepared in advance. I think out of all the things in the Bible, that's what brings me the most peace, is that that God has already seen the outside of our puzzle box. He knows how it's going to turn out. He knows what the finished product is supposed to look like. And we only see our one little puzzle piece. And he tells us over and over and over again that he's already prepared. He's prepared a place for you. He's got this ready. I have jobs for you. He's got everything all planned. So we can quit trying to be the leader and put our faith in him, we won't have to worry as much. And if we can take some of that worry off of the shoulders of these people that are coming in, and if they leave with, you know, a heart in their mind and a smile on their face, that's a really rewarding thing to be part of. So something I've enjoyed being part of, and something that's easy for me to talk about because I'm passionate about it. So if anybody ever wants to check it out and see what it looks like, we're open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 3, and then Tuesday nights from 6 to 8. But every volunteer has a key, so, you know, me or any other volunteer, you know, we'll gladly let you in at one time or another, wherever you want to, you know, if you want to see downstairs and see how the whole process works, look at our books. We're glad to have you, whether it's a Bible study or a youth group or whatever. So thank you very much for all you've done. You've supported us year after year after year, and it's greatly appreciated. You are the hands and feet of God, and I get to see the magic happen, so it's good to be here and to thank you for those moments that you don't get to see, that I get to see for you. So thank you. Okay.
As I said earlier, we financially support them. We prayerfully support them. If you feel led to financially, independently support them, I'm sure Kim can get you in that spot. You can get put on the mailing list. They'll mail you the monthly statement. There is a need. There's a need. And our job as Christians is to not be judgmental. Our job is to jump in and show God's love. And this is an outreach that does that. And I'd recommend if you have an interest, if you have a few minutes free time, if something interests you, get with Kim, take the tour and see what it's all about. I'm not going to go sort clothes because, man, that would overwhelm me as well. So, we'll have a time of invitation here today. Jesse and I will be here. And if there's a need that you have.